God can take us to that place of peace in whatever circumstances that we are in. It is God that enlighten our heart and give us peace. The basics, one is to walk by the flesh and carnal minded, or the other is walk by the Spirit of God, or being led by the Spirit of God. And when God leads us, then we are clear, because God gives us at that particular moment in our life the perfect direction, and we know that's the right direction, and we have peace in our heart. I want to go to Acts with you in this chapter 18, but before reading Acts 18, that Romans foundational doctrinal epistle, chapter 15, where there is that first person singular in verse 20. It says, "Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation." The New King James Version translation has it like this: "And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation." It's very important that we have this mental direction hot all the time, and that I have made it my aim to preach the gospel. The new, really desiring for the new. And Paul was really desiring for the new. "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work which God has called them out, and to the new fields." Didn't send them to Jerusalem, but to the new locations, the harvest-ready fields, God had taken them, and there were great growth, increase, multiplication, outreach, excitement, and we need that kind of excitement in our life. Growth, not maintenance or decrease. So this, God puts it here, so that I will say, just like Philippians 4:13, I can do. Doesn't say we can do, you can do, but it's more personally, God puts that in the first person singular. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me, or I have made it my aim. So this thrust. Yesterday, Gyan Singh was here. He shared, and his language communication is pointed out to growth, the new field, the growth, and excitement, and it's happening, being evidenced through him and his service. We will go to Acts 18. And 18:1, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth." So this is second itinerary, and they have already went through Macedonia and experienced great doors opened up. Many Jews and Gentiles were being added. God's really giving great increase in these places. And Athens, there weren't so much response, but there were some people believe. Paul was alone there and spends not many days in Athens. Silas and Timothy comes over and then goes back to Thessalonica to continue to work with the Thessalonians. And then, now in Corinth, 53 AD, they began this itinerary, second itinerary, in 53 or 52, let me see, when they leave, 52 AD, they will leave Antioch to Cilicia, Lycaonia, and Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, Galatia, Phrygia. And they had that epistle from James and the apostles, really clarifying, establishing this very important point that the Gentiles are not under the law. The Jews are, according to that epistle. But Paul had an ammunition backup, and in Acts 15, we know that Paul went there by revelation, by the will of God. Paul had great prosperity, prosperous journey, doors are opened up, Peter's heart was touched. Peter remembers and takes a stand about the grace of God, that Jews and Gentiles both are saved, not by works. And great benefits take place. Silas and Judas, they are sent together with Paul and Barnabas, and Titus was there. Silas accompanies Paul to this second itinerary, began 52 AD, and he travels, and then the churches were established in faith because of this, that the doctrine became clear, no more confusion. The Gentiles were not under the law. They are to follow and live according to the gospel which Paul preached, to be led by the Spirit of God, to depend upon God, and that they have access to God, that God can direct them, that they are seated at the right hand of God. Many wonderful things I'm sure Paul spoke, and God spoke through Paul, and God did mighty signs, wonders through Paul, and by the hand of Paul. And after seeing how the churches were established in the faith, and multiplying or grew in number daily, and God put in his heart for the new. And there we notice that Paul was not moving ahead with his agenda. Yes, he wanted the new. He has made it as his aim to preach the gospel new place, but with God. Very important. He didn't make it happen because his proposal was at that time to go to Asia, and God says, no, don't go to Asia. He listens, and then he proposed to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit of God says no, and he listens. And so he doesn't try to manufacture the outreach, but he moves with God, and then the vision of the man of Macedonia asking Paul to come and help. And he understood that they are to go to Macedonia, the first city, Philippi. And then great thing take place, because as Romans chapter 1, where it says that I may travel by the will of God. And by the will of God, then he will have prosperous journey. So same thing for us. By the will of God, being led by the Spirit of God and do it God's way, we may have great passion for something great and which is in line according to the will of God, but we cannot go beyond God's will at that time. We need to move according to God's timing for that particular thing, which we will know. God will make sure he will show it to us. Unless we go beyond God's will, our passion goes beyond, or no passion at all, and then we don't hear God's voice and do as God says. So here, Paul, Silas, Timothy, moving with God's will, in God's timing, great impact take place, and both Jews and Gentiles, proselyte Gentiles, they're getting saved. And then in Corinth, verse 2, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because the Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. Jews, they were having problems, and this commentary says, this edict of the Roman emperor is not mentioned by Josephus, but it is probably the same to which this name, I cannot pronounce, Suetonius, refers in his life of Claudius, where he says, Judeos impulsor. He expelled the Jews from Rome as they were making continual insurrections under their leader, Crestus, who this Crestus was, we cannot tell, probably Suetonius means Christ. But this, I confess, does not appear to me likely. There might have been a Jew of the name of Crestus who had made some disturbances. And in consequence, Claudius thought proper to banish all Jews from the city. So that's this one commentary. So anyway, they were in Rome. And then verse 3, and because he was of the same craft, Paul was the same craft, he abode with them. Aquila Priscilla being Jew and of the same craft, and they were wonderful people, Paul decided to stay, and they are very happy that Paul stayed with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. So, proselytes, Greeks. Verse 5, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, so they have been in Macedonia, came to Corinth, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence that synagogue and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined heart to the synagogue. And verse 8, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. And Corinth was a commercial center. It has a port, Centuria. So it's a metropolitan city. Some historians say there must have been 200,000 people living there. And God shows Paul that there are much people. So you keep going. Be not afraid. Nobody will lay hand on you and hurt you. Encouragement. See, Paul must have gone to God in prayer about the opposition circumstances facing him. And he went to God, and God gave him that peace. So we are able to have this continuous encouragement from God, the Creator. He is a very powerful God. And Paul can have peace and clearness of his direction, what to do. God showed him what to do. And verse 11, he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Those who are in Corinth and not in the synagogue now, but could be in the house of this guy where he stayed, or it could be house to house. And then verse 12, and when Gallio was deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuade men to worship God contrary to the law. Jewish law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, if it were manner of wrong or wicked lewdness, O you Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look you to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat, and Gallio cared for none of those things. And comes verse 18, Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while. So already 1.5 years passed, plus good while, so another month, 2 months, 3 months. We don't know, 6 months. So almost 2 years, Paul was in Corinth, and then took his leave of the brethren in Corinth, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. Now, Cenchrea is a port city in Corinth, and of course Corinth is in Greece. So this is interesting here that, I read this again, verse 18, and Paul after this tarried there yet a good while, and took his leave of the brethren, and sailed, he sailed, like pronoun, thence into Syria, and with him, Paul, Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea. So, according to the pronoun, then it looks like Paul having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. So, this is a Nazarite vow that normally someone does this when that person receives deliverance or wish, prayer or desire to God has been granted, answered. So they will perform this ceremony that for a particular time, this person will not drink anything from grapes, strong drinks or anything that is made of grapes, maybe other points too, but so this is a vow which is written in other places. I think Numbers chapter 6, that section, how the Nazarite vow is to be done. And after completion of the ceremony, then one will shave hair. Then he was bald. So it's a interesting thing right here that God doesn't need someone to do, perform this kind of things, but he will be blessed by our thanksgiving, you know, just thankfulness. When something of significant thing that we prayed for our lives is answered, then we don't perform, like today, we are not going to do that, shave off our head and do these things. We just know that God accepts and he is very blessed with us just giving him thanks. But he goes through this ceremony of which is written in the law. This is how you do. So there's a marking, like signal, signpost right here of a change in direction that we can notice. And verse 19, and he came to Ephesus. So he is planning to sail to Syria, and the reason for moving to Syria, later on it will be explained in this chapter, he desired to partake on the feast in Jerusalem, likely to be Passover. That's what commentary, the various people say here. So he's moving to that direction. So on the way, there's another port, Ephesus. Ephesus is horizontally situated by Cenchrea. So go horizontally across the sea. It was either 200 kilometers or 200 miles, I don't remember. Something like this. So he came to Ephesus and left them there, Aquila, Priscilla. But some texts don't have left them there. In other words, he came to Ephesus, but he himself entered into the synagogue. And some has, and left them, them could be Aquila and Priscilla, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. I don't know why he himself only went into the synagogue. Why not Aquila, Priscilla? That I don't know. So, verse 20, and these Jews, verse 20, when they, Jews in the synagogue, desired him, Paul, to tarry longer time with them, he consented not. And this also is different manner that Paul behaved. When he was in the first itinerary in Antioch of Pisidia, the first one where there was a jackpot outreach. These guys really wanted him to stay longer, and many believed. Entire city came to Paul to hear, and many got saved, and he hung on there until he had to get away because of persecution or something that he has to leave. Then he left and moved to Iconia the same way. He hung around there and milked the moment and got as many people saved. And then he moved on to next. The same way, even in the beginning of second itinerary, Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea, and pretty much until he needed to go away, he stayed and got the outreach going. But in this case, it is not. So another signpost. Something is different. And verse 21, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that comes in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you, if God will, and he sailed from Ephesus. Now, there's a great desire expressed, shown by the Judeans in Ephesus, and I'm sure some of them got saved too. He just really desires to keep that feast in Jerusalem. And we know in Romans chapter 10 that Paul's prayer, Paul's desire, that he wishes that Israel may be saved. And for Israel, he even doesn't mind that he gets unsaved. Like, his passion was like that, and which was great. It was God's desire also, that God also desired Israel to be saved. But if one's desire, passion goes beyond God's will at that time, then we fail. It doesn't work nice, or it won't be a productive campaign. So he moves on. And verse 22, and when he had landed at Caesarea, Caesarea is the nearest port to Jerusalem. So he travels, sails, and when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And it is very interesting that in most of the critical Greek texts, Aramaic text, that the word Jerusalem is not written. Verse 22, it just says, when he had landed at Caesarea, this name is there, and gone up. Gone up where? Intentionally, the gone up to Jerusalem, Jerusalem is not there. And even saluted the church. Church of what? Church. He went down to Antioch. Unlike Acts 15, there's a lot of descriptions, a lot of details were written. God wanted to share his visit to Jerusalem at that time, that prosperous journey. Here, the name of Jerusalem is even omitted. Just doesn't want to even mention this place. And it just says, saluted the church. Hello. Just, and what? We don't know. And he went down to Antioch. And verse 23, and after he had spent some time there, Antioch, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia, Phrygia, in order, strengthening all the disciples. So, until Corinth, great outreach. But something takes place in Paul's priority that he moves to Jerusalem. And the reason he goes to Jerusalem is he really wants Israel to be saved. And not only Israel to be saved, but the apostles and the elders, that they can really catch this grace of God. Because these Jewish believers, they are practicing the law. They are saved, but as James said, the Jewish boys, we're going to continue to do these law of Moses. But the Gentiles, you don't have to do. So at this time, the shift. And then we see that we don't see the outreach kind of things here. And then he moves on to Galatia, Phrygia, in order strengthening all the disciples. And Apollos goes over to Ephesus. Meanwhile, Paul never meets Apollos. While he's strengthening, he means Paul, strengthening the disciples in Phrygia, Galatia, these areas. Apollos pops up here, and he was preaching that Jesus was the Messiah, knowing up to John's baptism, and Aquila, Priscilla meets them and show Apollos the more perfect way. And Apollos hears it, blessed. Verse 18:27, and when he, Apollos, was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren, so they're already believers in Ephesus, wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, the disciples of Corinth to receive him. And I'm sure Aquila, Priscilla, being one of the key leaders who were with Paul, Corinthian leadership, they acknowledge this letter as genuine exhortation for the disciples to receive Apollos, who when he was come, Apollos when he was come to Corinth, helped them much which had believed through grace. In what way Apollos helped them? Verse 28, for he, Apollos, mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. And then moves on to chapter 19. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus. Now Paul comes back to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. I'm wondering about Paul meeting Aquila and Priscilla first, and the brethren, and then finding certain disciples, or right away he meets with these certain disciples. I don't know, but anyway, verse 2, he said unto them, these certain disciples, and these are disciples, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. So these disciples, they were knowing up to the John's baptism, and they were water baptized. Looks like they are Jewish background disciples who came to hear about that Jesus was the Messiah. And they must have been connected to the synagogue in Ephesus. A question is, Aquila, Priscilla, and the brethren, they're believers in Ephesus, looks like they should know each other, or they haven't met each other in Ephesus, or they might have met, but Aquila and Priscilla, or the other brethren, believers, haven't shared with them about the manifestation and the things beyond John's baptism with these about 12 disciples. So that's an interesting thing, why they didn't know. Now, Paul coming from Ephesus for the first time, coming out, sail, going to Jerusalem, and then Jerusalem to Antioch of Syria, and then from Syria to Galatia region, and then of course he stays certain time in Antioch, there was certain times passed. So his return to Ephesus again might have been less than 1 year, but not more than 1 year, that Paul, in verse 6, he gets them to manifest Holy Spirit right away. And they get these about 12 disciples, the laborers, to begin right away. And verse 8, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months. Earlier, about less than a year ago, maybe 6 months ago, he was there. They desired Paul to continue to teach. So he had the open door in this synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. So in that about 3 months period, verse 9, but when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, then what he will do? Paul departed from them in synagogue, these Jews in synagogue, and separated the disciples. There were ones who believed and followed Paul, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Paul comes back. First of all, he leaves Ephesus in 54 AD, later side of the 54 AD, and then comes back to Ephesus in sometimes in 55 AD. And this continues for 2 years and 3 months, so 55, 57 AD sometimes. And within this time period, the outreach really takes place. That all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus. And Paul was, meanwhile, at this one location. And obviously, about the 12 and other disciples wouldn't have just stayed in that particular location for 2 years and 3 months, or 2 years, because then how does the outreach take place? So, the manner of Paul was, he got them to get moving right away, got them to manifest, got them to heal the sick, to be led by the Spirit of God, and the vision for the outreach, each one to have their own field, to make it as his aim to preach the gospel to places where name of Christ is never preached. And so that's what he encouraged. And very quickly, all Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus. And verse 11, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchief and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. The level of faith has risen really high by preaching the words from God. The result was that people had faith. They received healing. Just like at the time of Peter. Peter walked. The level of faith was really high. The shadow of Peter overshadowing the ones who wanted healing, they were just healed. The devil spirits leave. And verse 13, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had the evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preached. And there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. But who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Those who didn't have the power of God, they didn't have power over the evil spirits. In fact, the evil spirit prevailed against them. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. The top level of the religious field, the sons of the chief of the priest, I think that's what it says, seven sons of the chief of the priest, yeah. So, when this thing took place, it became of note. It could have been that these sons of Sceva, seven sons, were doing these activities, exorcism, casting out devils with the devil spirits, or something like that, that this was greatly noticed. That's why it says, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus magnified. And verse 18, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. So when someone walks by the Spirit of God, being led by the Spirit of God, do the will of the Father, and now back into the harvest-ready field. Initial indication, Ephesus, about 6 months, 1 year ago, Paul first came there from Corinth. Indication was that was harvest-ready field. And normally, Paul would have just stayed there and kept on going. This kind of result would have taken place quicker. But he had different agenda, different campaign, strongly in his heart, beyond God's will, which we come to know that his visit to Jerusalem didn't bear any fruit, no name of Jerusalem mentioned in most of the critical Greek texts. But when he comes back to Ephesus, again, this story is picked up. That harvest-ready field. Out of harvest-ready field, nothing happened. Out of the will of God location, then nothing happened. Back to, again, the harvest-ready field and the location of the will of God. Great thing take place. Great outreach take place. And the movement, synchronization with God, the faith rises, going to the higher peak and more peaks. And people, they are turning to the living and true God. They recognize evil and good, or good and the best. And verse 18, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which use curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found 50,000 pieces of silver. So in those days, currency terms must have been a big amount of money, 50,000 silver. So these people who accepted the trend of those days, curious arts and those books, which they didn't think of that it was evil, bad, but when they became spiritual-minded, when the Word of God, the Word from God came to their heart by someone walking with God, they knew that these were not good, bad, evil, evil way. They just had no desire to keep these things, didn't count it as loss to throw these things away. And they have really turned from darkness to light. They have made the decision, these people. And therefore, verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So the word of the Lord, Jehovah, grew mightily and prevailed. This is the New King James Version translation. So that's 57 AD somewhere. Verse 21, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Now, again, Paul purposed in the Spirit. This is not the Spirit of God. Purpose in his heart, his passion for the salvation of Israel, again, burned strong, burned fervently. And unlike in Acts after 15, the second itinerary, so were the churches established in faith and grew in number daily, the great growth was taking place, then at that time, Paul's direction was new field. As it is written, that it was, he made it as his aim to preach the gospel to the new field, not the old field where somebody else has built the foundation, not that old field of Jerusalem. But, of course, there are Israelites who have not heard the gospel of Christ over there too. But the timing, that if it's not the will of God for Paul to go to Jerusalem, not by the revelation to go to Jerusalem, there's no benefit. Like the previous visit of Paul to Jerusalem, there was nothing significant or nothing happened. Not even the name or the word Jerusalem mentioned. But he wants again to go to Jerusalem. He goes over, verse 22, so he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And the same time there arose no small stir about that way, who were certain named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. And all these things take place. And uproar in Ephesus. People just cried out, great is Diana of Ephesians, and so forth. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And Paul would have entered in unto the people, verse 30. The disciples said, don't you go, suffer him not. So this, let's calm down. We just keep going forward. And then we'll go to chapter 20, these things. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them. Now, they had disciples in Ephesus. And departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came to Greece, the Corinth side, Greece, and verse 3, and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia, and there accompany him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus, and Trophimus. These gone before tarried for us at Troas. And verse 6, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And verse 7, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. So this is in Troas. So he's in Troas. The details are given, even in the unit of days here. Something is ticking. The urgentness in Paul's mind to go to Jerusalem. Now the question, is that God's direction, God's will for him to go to Jerusalem? It's very important for us when we move with God, in harmony with God, in God's will, we have prosperous journey. We will bump into the jackpot location, harvest ready field, and we will be blessed. And the people will be blessed. The great benefits come to everyone, and many will be saved, and many will come to the knowledge of truth. The word of Jehovah runs very swiftly. But here, he is moving towards Jerusalem again. Okay, and so he preaches all night, and one guy, Eutychus, falls down. He was sleepy, and then Paul raised him from the dead. And verse 11, when he therefore was come up again, and he had broken bread, and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. He's moving on towards Jerusalem. And verse 12, and they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. And verse 13, and we went before to ship. So Luke is here too. And sail on to Assos. They're intending to take in Paul, for so had he appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him in and came to Mytilene. And we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chios. And the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Trogyllium. And the next day we came to Miletus, going closer to Jerusalem. Verse 16, for Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost, where Jews from all over the world would come over for this feast. He thinks, open door to reach out to the children of Israel, that they may be saved, is now great desire. This was his desire. Yes, God's desire. But whether it was the right time or not, we will find here. Verse 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And verse 18, when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. And here is more like he is committed. He has made that commitment in his heart that he was going to anyway go to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Verse 3, save except that the Holy Spirit witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. So as he was traveling towards Jerusalem, people spoke, those who had the Spirit of God, born again believers, they or leaders, they spoke from God that these things await for him. In other words, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. This is not good. Now, his previous visit, it was not to that degree. Not at all to that degree. There was no consequence shown. But this time, very clear direction from God, don't go. It's not good. This journey is not going to be a prosperous journey. It's going to cause bondage, afflictions. But Paul is bound, committed in his heart to go to Jerusalem. Verse 24, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. His prayer was that even I am accursed for their brethren, their salvation's sake. That passion is great, but at the right time, as God opens the door, you cannot manufacture salvation for the children of Israel. Even he wanted, but we have to. He has to do it according to God's way, so that I might finish my course with joy. He is already thinking that that's end of my course. How about the new? What happened to the I will just continue to aim for the new field, as he was doing and being successful with God, and many more people are saved, and the region that Paul preached compared to the world was still not everywhere, not covered all the world. It's a small portion of outreach. And that he shouldn't limit. You know, his aim is to be really more and more and more, hungry for more outreach, more regions, more labors, more works to multiply and grow. Similar to one of the prophets, it could be Elisha or Elijah, said to one of the kings, smite the arrows. This king smites maybe three times only, and Elijah, the prophet, was not happy about it. Why did you just smite only these few times? You should have done that more. You should have been hungry for more. And the same thing, like similar thing, that he shouldn't have to just set the end, finish his course right there. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Why do you make that kind of decision? Was that will of God that should be like this? Verse 26, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He knows these things are going to take place. So why you want to finish? Why just think about departing so quickly, halfway cooked? Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So about space of 3 years, 2 years, 3 months, that Asian area, the Asia Minor and those areas, and which was not that long of a time. And verse 32, and now, brethren, I command you to go and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or pearl. Yes, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which spake, not that they should see his face no more, and they accompany him onto the ship. Instead of continuous aim for the new frontier, new outreach, new works, the word of Jehovah to run swiftly all over the world, it was in a different direction. Chapter 21, verse 1, and it came to pass that after we were gotten them from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Cus, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Tara, and finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went abroad and set forth. Now, when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre. Syria and long unto Tyre, for there the ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go to Jerusalem. So it's very clear the will of God. And verse 5, when he had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them 1 day. And the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, the port near to Jerusalem. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had 4 daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. What did they prophesy? in this line, I'm sure, was that Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus said the Holy Ghost, thus said God, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owned this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of the place besought him not go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean you to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. What happened to Paul? Not moving with the will of God. And when God's indication, direction is not good, if you go there. And of course we know that he got into big trouble, bound, really. And the work of God got disturbed, disrupted, because of that passion for Israel to be saved, which was great, but not beyond God's will. Moving in God's step, great prosperity, great success, the great growth, so mightily grew the word and prevailed. But not according to God's step, manufacturing that this Israel's outreach, everything stopped. And God didn't want Paul to go to Jerusalem. But he made up his mind. He moved on. And verse 15, and after those days we took up our carriage and went up to Jerusalem. So gone to Jerusalem. And verse 16, there went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea and brought with them of Mnason of Cyprus and all disciples with whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received gladly, the Jewish believers, brothers. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James. And all the elders were present. And when we had saluted them, he, Paul, declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry, like he did in Acts chapter 15 and verse 20. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord. But then they said, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe. And they're all zealous of the law. They have great zeal of the law. And they are informed about you, verse 21, that you teach all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk according to the customs. The Jews, believers in Jerusalem, they absolutely believe that it is the right thing to do the law. And not following the law was wickedness. Going away from the law of Moses was evil. So they couldn't believe. What are you doing? They are saying to Paul, we don't understand why you do this. Verse 22, what is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this, that we say to you, we have four men which have a vow on them, Nazarite vow. And verse 24, then take and purify yourself with them and be at charge. You pay for these guys' offerings. And this was customary done by richer people, even kings or wealthier people, to pay for the poorer people's offering needs, those who did Nazarite vow. And be at charges means to pay their offerings, that they, these four men, may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning you, Paul, are nothing but that thou, Paul, yourself also walks orally and keeps the law. Just show them. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing. They don't have to do the law, but see, we are to walk according to the law of Moses, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols and from blood and from strangled and from fornication. Verse 26, then Paul took the man. So instead of God's direction, God's will, Paul takes their will to please them. And I'm sure he thought that by doing this, by becoming like Jews, and he's a flesh-wise Jews, and doing this kind of thing, that he might save some. Great, wonderful intention. But it was not according to will of God. So then Paul took the man, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that offering should be offered for every one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews, which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on Paul, him, crying out, Man of Israel, help! This is the man that teaches all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, holy temple, and further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. Verse 24, they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And verse 30, and all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they were about to kill him, Paul, Titus came unto the chief captain of the band, that all Jerusalem was in uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing, some another among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty of the for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people, for the multitude of the people followed after crying, Away with him! And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, May I speak unto thee? Who said, Canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou the Egyptian, which before these days made us an uproar and led us out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers? But Paul said, I am a man, which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with hand unto the people, and when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in Hebrew tongue, saying, Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in Hebrew's tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he said, I am verily a man which am Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, as you all are this day. And I think I will just now close, and I will take up later time from here, or just go back and pick up from there. But we know that this decision, and not moving in the direction of God, resulted in almost the life of Paul. And by this captain of centurion, he was delivered from the death. So what we see, he was having great success of outreach and growth, and great things are taking place when he was in step with God. Just wonderful. But when he took his eyes off to his own agenda and moved forward, then it didn't happen. First time after Corinth going to Jerusalem, he saw it, nothing happened, and after 2 years and 3 months, maybe almost 3 years, in Asia, Then he again desires to go back to Jerusalem, and now he was in trouble. So here we see from Acts that we never stop having the aim for new and exciting walk with God and for great growth. I have made it as my aim to preach the gospel where Christ has never been preached before, and then move according to God's step. And don't try to make it happen by yourself. Don't manufacture outreach. Don't manufacture the harvest ready field. God has the right location for you, and He will get you there. And where that harvest ready field, the place of rest, the promised land, He will cause everything to take place, wonderful things to take place. So this is what I want to share.